All right, what is going on, everybody? This is your boy Slam Cena, or Sam Singh, whatever you'd like to call me. It's been a while since I've done a podcast. Been almost a month. Been pretty busy over the break and getting back into Tucson and the swing of things there with work at ESPN Tucson. As you guys know, I'm a producer there, so I had to come back and forth a lot over break. But now I am back on the Yeti microphone, which I had got for Christmas, and this is actually the first time that I am using this microphone, so it's going to be good to test it out, see how the sound quality is, and see if that can help improve the podcast. But until then, until further ado, I would like to introduce my friend Nathan Porter right here. He is a former ASU student, go Cats, and now he goes to the University of Oregon. I've known Nate since about sixth grade through basketball. We've always just been very connected together through sports, and we've played sports together, and we like the same team. So that's why I wanted to bring him on and see what he could contribute to this podcast. So, Nate, say what's up.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
So, yeah, we are going to be talking about the Warriors today and their game tonight. And as many of you know, DeMarcus Cousins has returned. He has made his debut. And Nate and I watched the game tonight. We went to a bar out in Tucson. And we
had a few Ronas.
Had some Ronas, you know, had a little night, full send a little bit, but not too much, you know. Just enough, yeah. Half send. But yeah, the boys were impressed, I'd say.
Oh, the boys were quite impressed by Boogie. I mean, the man's dynamic.
Yeah.
What can you say?
He's got, you know, different angles all over the court. You know, any athletic 7-footer that can shoot the 3-ball is impressive in my eyes. You know,
absolutely.
Because that adds just such a different. Forget the offseason. Forget the deal that he signed. Any time that you can get a center like that, you go for it. And I think the Warriors really proved tonight why they kind of stuck through that whole rumble, you know, of the offseason. But any 7-footer that's shooting threes like that, you know, he made 3 threes tonight in his debut. And 15 points is very impressive. And, you know, he was targeted a lot. He was the guy that the camera was focusing on the whole time. He was making plays. He was getting the highlight plays. He had some great dunks. But I was impressed with just the way that he could run the floor. I mean, the Warriors in the center position does not have a good history in the past decade. This involves Andres Biedrins, you know, who was the center that we hated. We literally hated so much, and we had to stick through about 4 to 6 seasons of him, of just pure crap basketball. I just remember feeling like I never think the Warriors are ever going to be able to get a center, like a true center. And, you know, we got Bogut by the Monte trade, and, you know, that worked out for a little while. It was looking okay, but Boogie's legit. Like, he is a real center. So what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I was gonna expand on what you're saying a little bit. I definitely agree. I mean, Andres Biedrins had one productive season as a Warrior and then was paid as though he was a top 5 center in the league for the upcoming years, and then was extremely underproductive. I think the Warriors' history of the center position is interesting because kind of their turnaround started with that trade, the Andrew Bogut trade. It's kind of when they started to blow up that mediocre team they had at the time.
Right.
And it was just the first move they made that, well, aside from like drafting Steph, it was the first move they made towards being the team they are now.
That was significant.
Yeah.
Right.
And Bogut, although he was injury prone, he was extremely productive, helped them win like one championship.
Yeah.
So I think that was a good start, but obviously he wasn't like a DeMarcus Cousins level guy.
Right.
And then, you know, through the rest of the years, they've had centers who were good but injury prone, like Festus Ezeli,
right? Kavon, Damian Jones, kind of the younger guys.
I think it's too early to say with those
right.
guys. And then like last year, Zaza Pachulia, obviously,
I mean, right?
He filled the role that he needed,
just the role filler.
He was going to score maybe 4 points a game,
right?
Get a few rebounds. And so, I mean, it's crazy, you know, this team that's on, they have right now five right. All-Stars in their prime. You got Iguodala, who's used to be an All-Star on the bench. It's crazy. And I just think, I was just looking up, it's interesting to compare that because the Warriors blew out the Clippers at Staples Center tonight.
Right.
And then if you look back in November, where KD and Draymond had that fight at Staples Center, and it seemed like their season was over.
Right.
KD's going to leave. Who knows what was going to happen with Draymond.
Everything was up in the air.
Yeah. It's kind of nice to come full circle, have DeMarcus Cousins back tonight, blow out the Clippers on their home floor. And I think it was just an awesome game, and it was good to put that all behind them, I guess, I think, officially.
It looked good. I mean, what I've kind of been talking about with the Warriors is, they've won 7 in a row, but before that, they were losing. Like, realistically, they were losing. And, they were losing games that, you know, the past 3 years, those teams probably would not have lost. And I think that's okay. And I'll tell you why I think that's okay. I think it's okay because I think that they were trying out different schemes, different lineups, different maneuvers, different plays, and they wanted to figure out what was working with the guys that they had on the court and then what would potentially work for Boogie. And I mean, I don't think that Boogie would have had 15 and 8 tonight. You know, obviously he fouled out 9 minutes left in the fourth, whatever. I think he had a great game. And in the time being, I mean, 15 minutes is, it's not that much time, but he was productive, and he actually put up some good numbers. So I think it's definitely looking up for them since that kind of Dre and KD feud, because there were a lot of people that started getting skeptical. There were a lot of people that didn't really know what to think of it. People thought, oh, are they done? Is it kind of a turmoil right now? But then other people that really have trusted that team have kind of known that this is normal. Steve Kerr knows that this is normal. You cannot have the 72-9 season that they did, or 73-9 that they did. That's never going to happen again. That was too good to be true, and that wasn't even with KD. So, that's crazy to even think how far they've even come in the 3 to 4 year span since that has happened. 3 years, I think, but I don't know. I think that there's going to be a whole different type of game plan now with him going forward in the next, 3 months of the season, 3-4 months of the regular season.
Yeah.
Because when you add a guy like that, they don't just wait until January for him to get a limited role. He is going to be eventually worked into the starting lineup fully. Come April, this man is going to be getting 30 minutes a game.
Absolutely.
And that's crazy.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's like you said, it's like Steve Kerr said earlier, it's the Warriors are having, for all intents and purposes, a normal NBA season. They're still number one in the Western Conference, but it's not been they're not winning 73 games. So, I mean, I guess that's cause for concern when you're used to that.
Right.
But, for all intents and purposes, they're having the normal season, which is interesting. And it's just not something we've been used to the past few years with this team. And I mean, frankly, the only times they looked vulnerable tonight were at times it looked like they were a little careless with the ball.
Absolutely.
KD and Steph were kind of.
Steph made some turnovers at the end. They were a little questionable.
I would call those all-star game type passes he was trying to make.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That last Steph one reminded me of a pass that he would be making in an all-star game.
Yeah.
Up 30 points.
Right, right. Not in a regular season game.
No.
And so, I mean, it's just, I guess, just stuff like that if they're not, engaged mentally. And,
right. Tobias Harris got to the line of light a lot tonight, too. And, that's
slipping up.
I mean, they're fouling a lot.
Yeah.
And they fouled a lot tonight, too. So.
And I think a big part of that, we said, Boogie fouled out. And his first game back, he's
going to be
rusty. He's going to be aggressive.
Right.
He's going to be jumping at a lot of stuff. So, I kind of think I don't think that will happen often with him. He's just getting back into it. I mean, it was good. It was I think this was, frankly, obviously, I think it was the most hyped game of the season
Absolutely.
So far for this team. Maybe you could say the Christmas Day matchup too. But, it was good. I'm glad they lived up to the hype.
It wasn't
– if they lost that game, certainly would have been a letdown. So
Absolutely.
It was good.
I mean, if DeMarcus's debut after – 4.5, 5 months was spoiled.
Yeah.
Warriors fans were not going to be happy.
No.
And I don't think the Warriors management was going to be happy too. But I mean, it worked out exactly how they drew it up. Yeah. I mean, trust the process, wait 5 months, get whatever his issue is good, make him 100% before he steps on that floor.
Yeah.
And when he does, he's going to contribute. And he did.
Absolutely. And I mean, what I thought was interesting is there's that when you're watching the second quarter when they had their lineup on the floor was DeMarcus Cousins, and then they had three point guards with Steph, yeah, Quinn Cook, and Sean Livingston, and they had Klay at the four.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. You got like three shooters, Sean Livingston, who's probably, I guess, would be running the point in that, yeah, position, and then DeMarcus Cousins, who is a shooter as well, yeah, but in that position, he's going to be getting rebounds.
It's so just the way that that, yeah, floor is spread now. Yeah, it's wild. Oh my gosh, I can't even believe it. Like, yeah, these games are going to get so much more exciting too, because there's going to be so much more possibilities of stats and how that DeMarcus is just, yeah, there.
It's going to be interesting to see how they distribute points and stuff. Oh. You know, if we're going to be seeing these Klay scoring like 50 points, yeah, or whatever.
Once in every 20,
yeah,
days.
Yeah, who knows how that's going to,
right,
who knows what's going to happen. But the thing that's so much fun to watch out of this team, and they're so unselfish. When, oh, one guy gets it rolling, they do whatever they can to keep feeding, yeah, him. And I don't think that they'll lose.
Look
at
Jordan
all.
Bell tonight.
Yeah,
8 Jordan points Bell, in, yeah, the last 2 minutes, 3 minutes of the game.
Yeah, no one and, had a problem with him going, yeah, one-on-one those last few, yeah, possessions.
So. I saw Livingston dish it to him when there's like 50 seconds like on the clock coming down, and they're still trying to score.
Yeah.
They were still trying to feed, yeah, Bell the rock, and he was still delivering. And like, that's good to see. You love seeing the little guys give those 6 to 8 point production games,
right,
because then you know for the playoffs, like, if you do come into a situation, Draymond fouls out, he gets ejected, or KD's injured, or something like that, you actually do have guys that can produce and,
right,
and actually have practice with these guys to get the experience to step into those situations.
Yeah, and I mean, with Bell, it's interesting. His role's been extremely different than
it's
was
been
last
decreased.
Year. Yeah, it's definitely been decreased. And I think part of that is having Damian Jones,
yeah,
up now. I mean, at the beginning of the season.
Yep.
And now DeMarcus Cousins back. And plus Kevon Looney's been really
impressive
playing this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's it's good to see him just get his confidence up. And I'm not really sure. I mean, going into this offseason, there's a lot of questions up in the air.
Yeah.
You know, KD come back. DeMarcus Cousins is a free agent. Klay is a free agent. So I think he's a restricted free agent.
Yeah.
But still. So you never know. Like, he could have a big opportunity if things go awry for,
yeah,
Warriors fans. You never know when someone like Jordan Bell could all of a sudden be your starting center. So
I just kind of thought of something tonight. Like, the Warriors seem like they're just at this different type of brotherhood level. Like, they want to do stuff for each other at a point of, why don't we try to reconstruct our deals so that we can all stay?
Yeah, absolutely.
What if? And what I'm thinking is 2011 Heat. They did it. They said, Dwayne Wade, can you take a little pay cut for Chris and LeBron to come in? Yeah, let's do it. Let's make this team. Obviously, we're not bringing in those guys right now. We already have those potentially there, but I don't think we're going to be able to sign all three. I just don't. Unless DeMarcus, what if he takes another one-year deal? What if he takes a 5.3 again? I mean, like, that type of sacrifice would give the leeway to KD and to Klay. And like, if they could keep this squad together, they will be dangerous. And I mean, obviously finance is going to start getting really tough, especially when these guys do start getting, you know, past this next deal.
Yeah.
So,
well,
what do you think?
Well, I mean, if you're talking about expensive, I'm not mistaken, I think the Warriors pay the highest luxury tax,
yeah,
in the NBA right now. And yeah, it's just a question of what they, you know, what guys' personal goals are. I think Steve Kerr earlier this year said that he said something along the lines of, like, we better win a championship this year because,
yep,
it's our only year with Cousins.
Yep.
And then recently I saw that DeMarcus Cousins said he'd be open to
re-signing
a deal with Golden State in the offseason. So you never know. I mean, there's a very good chance they have pretty much the exact same team next,
yeah,
year. And the worst case scenario for them is that they lose these key guys.
Right.
And I don't think it's cause for panic because I don't think there's a situation where they lose all three of those,
right,
guys.
I think they sign at least one.
At least
like
one.
It's, yeah, got to. I think it's going to be Klay.
Yeah, I think Klay.
I think it's the home. They stick with the homegrown instead of the outreach, I think.
Yeah. Frankly, between the three, I think the most likely to leave would be Durant.
Yeah.
And he's just like a pretty mysterious guy.
Right.
You don't really know what his
personal... We have no idea. Yeah, like,
because what I was talking about earlier at the bar was Durant. The Knicks are going to have the most cap room to sign Durant. New York is probably the biggest or second biggest sports market in the country.
Yeah.
And it would be his first chance to like truly... like build a team completely around him, you know. In OKC, he had Westbrook,
right?
He had Ibaka, and then Golden State. Obviously,
this would be his chance to kind of recoup it.
Yeah, on top of the fact that he's really good friends with Alonzo Trier, U of A guy, so I could see him wanting to be a mentor for him and a lot of the young guys.
Completely forgot about that.
Kevin Knox, Chris Stapps,
yeah,
that kind of thing. So I could definitely see him going to New York.
Yeah,
it's just the Knicks have such a if that deal goes through, it's because the Knicks blow it.
Yeah.
I think they have such a poor history with their management
and
GM.
It's tough for the Knicks in recent history and recent like modern sports era. It's been hard for them to win. I don't even remember the last ship that they had. It might have been in like the '80s. You know, eighties or nineties.
I think it was in the '70s. Honestly,
maybe even both. Yeah,
they were consistently when they were good in the '80s and nineties. They would get consistently beat by Jordan in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right. And Patrick Ewing would always get
Patrick
KO'd.
Ewing. Yeah.
Yep.
So I think the last time they won a championship, I don't know.
We can look it up after.
Yeah. But I would guess it was in the '70s.
Yeah.
And it's kind of surprising for a market like that. It's built around teams like the Yankees, who are like the predominant team in their sport. And I mean, granted, they're awful this year, but the Giants have won Super Bowls in the past, so it's kind of like New York expects a lot of their teams.
They have high expectations.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising a team like that would underperform so badly.
And when Melo went to the Knicks, he kind of wanted to be that New York face of the Big Apple.
Yeah.
Now, if KD has the chance, like I feel like realistically, he's going to, after winning his rings, he's got his rings now, he's got his Hall of Fame credibility that he maybe didn't think he had before. But now he has the chance to, like you said, have the centerpiece be him. And they don't need any Westbrooks or any James Hardens there. They have the young guys that are on the rise. I mean, I really do like the career of Kevin Knox, potentially. I think Kristaps is going to be great. And having Zoe he's been tearing it up. Like, he's making teams regret that they didn't draft him, that they didn't even consider him. I was saying he should have been at the end of the first round, but I mean, that's just, I mean, a little bias from Arizona, but man, second round at least. And he's tearing it up almost like, I think it's like 12, 13 points a game. And he's had some big games for them.
Yeah.
So that could be a big destination for KD.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. It's, I think they're the most, I mean, I've heard like Boston could make a move if Kyrie leaves. But I don't know.
That's always a tough push.
I feel like he's either going to New York or staying with the Warriors at this point. I used to, going into the season, I thought, I was like, all right, the only way KD's leaving the Warriors is if the NBA puts a team back in Seattle.
Yep.
But now I'm a little more skeptical.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's just because of, like, honestly, because of the Draymond thing a little bit kind of showed at the time that their locker room wasn't this, like, perfectionist place that people kind of thought it was. But I don't know. I think Steve Kerr is probably the best leader in the NBA.
Yeah.
I think Bob Myers is hands down the best GM in the NBA, and I know those guys are going to do whatever they can to keep this team together. So I don't know. I think the odds are pretty good that they have the exact same team next year. So
I could see it.
Yeah.
Well, that was that'll be it for this edition of the Grand Slam. This segment was called Sports from the Couch. And we'll be doing more of these. We're out here in my garage right now. And it's a nice little cozy place to talk about some sports and
crack a few Ronas.
Crack some Ronas on a hopefully another night. Gotta get up for the grind for work in a little bit at 4:30. But I would like to announce to everyone that I am now an official ambassador for a company called Alien Pros, and what their product is, they make grips for different baseball bats and tennis rackets and golf clubs. And so now I actually have a golf grip that is on the way in the mail. And when I get that, I will start making videos of me at the range, pretty much promoting their product. And I'm going to hope to keep doing that. And hopefully I can get a baseball bat grip and start doing that for the baseball bats. But yeah, I'm just going to start looking for more ways to promote this show, more ways to get this word out, and trying to have people listen to what I have to say.
Also, for the record, 1973 was the last Knicks championship.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Also, lastly, I would like to give a special shout out to Headline Barbershop. They are a fantastic barbershop on Grant Avenue. And my boys, Terrence and Chris, can absolutely hook you guys up with a nice little fade, nice little cut, anything you need. They got it. They're the best in town. They give the best conversations. You know, you can talk about sports, school, really anything. These guys are dope. They're definitely worth the money. And go check them out. They're on Grant Ave, and I believe Grant First, right by the McDonald's. So, again, that is all for the Grand Slam. I will be having my radio show for the Grand Slam next Friday. I believe it's 1 to 2 p.m. I will furthermore update that on my social media. But I would like to thank Nathan again. Thank you for coming on the show.
No
Very
problem.
Much appreciate
no
it.
Problem.
And I will catch you guys next time.